Something that I read this morning, anti-refugee prejudice in the Western Cape starts. Life has only seemed to become harder for refugees and asylum seekers in the Western Cape. There are reports that many vulnerable migrants are denied access to relief programs and health care. A special report on xenophobia highlights the negative effects of xenophobia on the everyday lives of non-nationals in South Africa. The piece is written by Stephen Gordon, who's a senior research specialist with the Human Sciences Research Council. Stephen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for speaking on this important issue.
Is it only in the Western Cape, or you're writing about the Western Cape because there was a particular study done in the Western Cape, and it's just as likely that the situation in the same in other provinces, or might be different in other provinces?
You are right that the situation in the Western Cape is not particularly unique. In many other provinces in South Africa, we see high levels of anti-immigrant sentiment, resentment against refugees and asylum seekers, and growing animosity towards non-nationals in our society, specifically as the country tries to rebuild itself after the economic shock of the COVID-19 pandemic. The study that we're talking about today was conducted in those four provinces which hold the majority of refugees, asylum seekers, and foreign nationals. The data we're looking at specifically focuses on the Western Cape, which, as you will remember, was the site of a refugee sit-in about a year ago at this time. And it highlights the antipathy and antagonism that many Western Capers feel towards refugees and asylum seekers.
Well, I found the four categories in to which you divide the people who have... I'm hearing echo on your line. It's really quite disconcerting. Anyway, the four categories into which you divide... Are you on a speaker, Stephen?
No.
Okay, it's very odd. You divide the four groups into the liberal cluster, 24% of the provincial population, and they have an attitude characterized by tolerance and charity towards refugees. I put myself in that cluster. Then the judgmental cluster was the least accepting of and the most hostile towards non-nationals. I'm glad that there are fewer judgmentals than there are liberals, 19%. Then you've got the careful cluster, which is the second most prevalent. This is typified by an acceptance of the rights of outsiders, but an anxiety about the impact of migrants on local society. And then the 31% is the biggest segment. That's ambivalent. They basically disconnected from the issue and don't have strong opinions about migrants and refugees.
Absolutely. I think it's very important that we take a step back from this binary narrative in which we view South Africans, whether in the Western Cape or Gauteng or wherever, is either xenophobic or not xenophobic. There is actually quite a broad spectrum of opinion on this issue. What an analysis like this does is allows us to identify those people most able to be persuaded to adopt a more conciliatory, a more positive view of foreign nationals, of refugees, of asylum seekers, and able to persuade those groups, this middle category, about half the province, to adopt a more tolerant view. And so I think there is a lot of space to expand tolerance and acceptability, welcoming and compassion towards refugees and asylum seekers in the Western Cape. We shouldn't view this completely negative picture.
Yeah, let me come in there and say there are two attitudes. There's the attitude of the population, and then there is the attitude of the government. And it doesn't matter how much you convince, or does it matter how much you convince a greater percentage of the population to be warm, welcoming of non-nationals in their midst, if when they meet the granite face of bureaucracy, the attitudes haven't changed at all.
I would say that if you look at two issues. So the first issue is what we call institutional prejudice. So this is the prejudice of ordinary office holders and bureaucrats. There has been documented cases in which officials, at the institutional level have displayed prejudicial behavior and attitudes towards foreign nationals, towards refugees, towards asylum seekers. This is a problem and has to be dealt with in a fundamental way. But I would say that sometimes officials and bureaucrats are responding to what they see on the ground. They're responding to community demands. I think if we look at, you know, the marches by groups like Put South Africa First and how much attention this has drawn, indeed look at the Gauteng Township Bill, a bill that arrived from the grassroots of the political movements in Gauteng and has now made its way to the Premier's office. So there is a relationship, albeit an indirect one, between what people on the ground want and what policymakers are actually doing.
And then, Stephen, I was also interested, your article doesn't address this, and I don't know if the study looked into it. I was also interested if there was any link between the socioeconomic status of the people being polled and their position in one of the clusters. One would perhaps expect that those whose tenuous livelihoods are most threatened by the presence of non-South African nationals in the communities would be more likely to be in the judgmental cluster, or would that be an incorrect assumption to make?
There is a relationship between your position in one of the clusters and your social economic position, but that relationship is not as robust as we may imagine it to be.
Okay.
For example, many educated people are in the careful cluster, right? Mm-hmm. And the judgmental cluster is not exclusively made up of the poor. So while there is a social economic criteria here, it is not the whole story, and we should not reduce xenophobia, anti-immigrant sentiments in South Africa to a simple, you know, poor-rich divide. Now, we can see these attitudes reflected in wealthy suburb communities as well as poor townships and villages.
Stephen Gordon, thank you very, very much indeed. Senior Research Specialist with Human Sciences Research Council. If you're interested in that, his article is on the Daily Maverick at the moment.